Best-selling author and Professor Ibram X. Kendi has convened a national conversation on being anti-racist. He's the director for anti-racist research at Boston University. He's written the best-selling 2019 book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, where he points out the difference between not being racist and being anti-racist. We'll talk about that. Actively exposing racist ideals, working to end them. But now Dr. Kendi is convening a literal conversation with Be Anti-Racist with Ibram X. Kendi, what he calls an action podcast in which he explores the intersections of racism with other areas of bias. In this week's episode, CNN anchor Don Lemon talks about being both a black man and a gay man.
I didn't want to come out for the longest time because I was already black. And I said, okay, I'm black. Do I really need another strike? Now I welcome it because it's made me who I am.
Don Lemon in conversation with Professor Ibram Kendi on Kendi's podcast, Be Anti-Racist, and he joins us now. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me back.
And in preparation, I was looking back at your so thought-provoking book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, in which you lay out the difference between different types of racism, but you also say a racist is someone who supports racist policies by their actions or inactions, not doing something. An anti-racist is someone who's supporting anti-racist policies by their actions or by expressing an anti-racist idea. Can you flesh that out a bit?
Sure. So you have ideas of racial hierarchy that, let's say, black people are lazier than white people. That's a racist idea. And so when somebody says that, they're being racist. You know, you have other ideas like, you know, there are these different cultures and all these cultures are equals. That's an anti-racist idea. And so when someone says that, they're being anti-racist. You have policies that make it harder for, let's say, black, brown, and indigenous people to vote. Those are racist policies, and people support them and oppose them. And if they support them, they're being racist. And if they oppose them, they're being anti-racist.
Yeah. So that sets the table, because you also go on to say, you know, for those who might think, well, I'm not racist, because I'm not, you know, it just, I am not. That doesn't count. You're calling on people to be anti-racist, to actively do something about the racism that you see. Is that part of what you're doing? You call this an action podcast. Is that one way you felt maybe you had to walk your talk?
Exactly. I mean, for me, I'm always trying to think about how I could help people, even help myself, to sort of see the pathway to creating equity and justice. You know, nearly 200 years ago, there were people in Boston who were abolitionists who recognized that they needed to speak out and organize against slavery. They recognized that if we did not speak out against slavery, then it would persist. And so it's the same thing today, that if we aren't speaking out against racism, if we're not speaking out against the problem of racial inequity, what's going to happen to it? It's going to persist.
Yeah. Well, that gets us to the podcast. Each one, as we said, has an intersection between racism and other biases. So when you spoke to Don Lemon, he spoke about being both a gay man and a black man, which gives bigots reason to attack him on two fronts. What was your thinking behind that, the intersection?
I want people to sort of see and understand how racism shows up in different ways and intersects with other forms of bigotry. So whether it's, you know, I spoke with Rebecca Coakley about the way racism intersects with ableism, or with Ari Berman, who we talked about voter suppression, and certainly with Don Lemon, in which we talked about the way in which racism and homophobia harms, you know, black gay men like Don Lemon, as well as, you know, other queer people of color. And I also wanted people to hear this from the experts. There are so many different experts who are studying different forms of racism that I really wanted to usher to the American people.
Yeah. You mentioned speaking to disability rights activist Rebecca Coakley about ableism. This is judging people based on their physical or mental abilities. And you asked her how ableism intersects with racism. Let's listen to her answer.
They're roots of the same tree.
Yes.
It's funny, I actually went back through your book after reading it the first time, and every time there was something there that I was like, oh, it parallels here. I literally like drew a picture of a tree.
Well, and one of the parallels, Professor Kendi, is how being a Black person and a mentally disabled person make you more likely to be killed by police.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, even in that episode, I talked about my brother, who is a Black man with a disability. And I fear for my life, you know, around the police, but my fear for myself or my father pales in comparison. There's no one that I fear more, you know, around the police than my brother. And part of this is because I've seen the number of Black men and women with disabilities who've been killed by police or even are in prisons and incarcerated when they shouldn't.
Now, you tell the story at the beginning of that podcast about your brother calling the police for some reason and how you hurried over there.
Yeah, and it was one of the scariest moments of my life because, you know, my brother was having an episode and he called the police. My parents called me when the police showed up and I rushed over there and felt that I was rushing over there to potentially save my brother's life.
You mentioned journalist Ari Berman, who covers voting rights for Mother Jones. He talks about all these voter suppression bills as they're being characterized by most viewers. The people behind them say that they're strengthening the voting system. But Ari Berman says it's part of a larger strategy. Let's listen.
First, you try to undermine people's faith in the electoral process so they don't vote in the first place.
Yeah.
Then when they vote, you try to throw out their votes. And then when you can't throw out their votes, you then make it so that they have a harder time voting in the next election. I mean, this is a strategy here. This is a plan here. This is a roadmap here. I think a lot of people are not connecting one to the other to the other.
So Professor Kendi, let's say after that podcast, people do. How can somebody be anti-racist about what they view as racist voter suppression bills?
Well, they could call their elected officials and advocate for the For the People Act or the John Lewis voting rights bill that's coming down the pipe as well, or even advocate for more state-oriented bills that expand early voting, that allow people to register automatically, that allows election days to be holidays, and to thinking, okay, how can we make it easy for people, you know, to vote? Because the easier it is for people to vote, the more people are going to vote, and the more well-functioning our democracy will be.
Yeah. There's so many more topics in your podcasts. The collateral damage of racism on white people, that's with political commentator Heather McGee. Racism in sports with Jemele Hill, the sports commentator. She's had a run of her own. We remember when she was suspended for writing a column. I think she said something like having sympathy for the Celtics, Boston's basketball team in a, you know, this very, very white town, is like thinking that Hitler is a victim. What did she talk about with sports and racism?
Well, I think we're living in a new time in which more and more athletes are refusing to just shut up and dribble or to shut up and just catch or run the football. And they're really speaking out and they're really using their voice and they're really demanding their power. And she was really able to share how and why that's happening and how and why it's important for people to support the efforts of athletes to speak out and to use their platforms for racial justice and even to gain more power within their leagues and within their sport. Because for so long, particularly Black athletes, there's been all sorts of ways in which they've been confined and controlled. And that is what caused, you know, even a sports writer named William Roden to write a book called $40 Million Slaves.
Professor Kendi, it feels like that your work is directed quite a bit towards people who think they're not racists, but you're nudging to be more than that, to take action. Same with the podcast. How do you address the people who are on the other side of the political divide, maybe are racist proudly or have racist beliefs but would be offended if they were told that? I mean, there's such a divide right now. It feels like, I said, that a lot of these conversations are happening on one side of that divide.
Well, there is a divide, and there are people who hold racist ideas and believe those ideas are the truth. But some of those people are open-minded, and so they just maybe haven't been exposed to a different way of seeing or knowing in the world. They haven't really been exposed to evidence that demonstrates that what they think is not the case. For those people who are open-minded, who are willing to read from people who study racism, you know, obviously I'm supplying and seeking to supply that. But then there are other people who aren't closed, are very closed. And for me, it's almost as if they're addicted to racist ideas. And so it's hard for anyone to get them to confront themselves and their addiction. And so it's really incumbent upon them and the people who are close to them. And so I may not be able to get them to think differently, but if I can get their family member who then is able to sort of work with them to really overcome this belief that racial inequality is normal, then to me, that's a job well done.
That's Professor Ibram X. Kendi. He's, of course, the widely read author, but his new podcast is Be Anti-Racist with Ibram X. Kendi. Professor, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, as always.